Senator Christopher Dodd grew up in a house that had a swastika flag in the attic, and pictures that young Chris and his brothers and sisters were forbidden to see of the victims of concentration camps. His father had brought them all home. Thomas J. Dodd was a Connecticut lawyer who went to Nuremberg, Germany, to be a staff prosecutor of the most infamous Nazis for crimes against humanity. A few years ago, the senator found a collection of letters that his father had sent back from Germany to his wife, Grace. Those letters have now been published, Letters from Nuremberg, My Father's Narrative of a Quest for Justice, with a foreword from Senator Dodd, who had the assistance of Larry Bloom. Senator Christopher Dodd of Connecticut is also a candidate for the Democratic nomination for president, joins us from our studios in New York. Senator Dodd, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
And we should make this plain. This is not one of those election year campaign biographies, is it?
No, not at all. And my motivation on this came with the decision by Congress to support the Military Commissions Act, which stripped habeas corpus, basically restored the idea of torture and interrogations. And those decisions provoked me to publish these letters with the permission, obviously, of siblings. I couldn't do this on my own. Mm-hmm. My father talked endlessly growing up about the rule of law, how important it was in the lessons of Nuremberg. And had there been a body of law, he always said, in the 1920s, maybe what happened under the 13-year rule of the Nazis might have been avoided. I don't know if that's true or not, but he certainly said it often enough and cared deeply about this experience and writes to my mother in June of 1946 that he says he'll never do anything again in his life as important as what he did at Nuremberg. And I, in retrospect, would probably have to agree with him.
Your father probably became best known at the time for holding up a skull in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
This was, I guess, Exhibit USA 254.
That's right. It's in December of 1945. The trial wasn't going well. Hermann Göring was holding forth and gaining some credibility with the international press, mm-hmm. sort of making the case, look, wars are ugly, people die, terrible things happen. So my father suggested this case wasn't being tried. It was just boring recitation of some data, but without any captivating sort of moment to crystallize what these people were really like. He places on a table in the center of the courtroom with a cloth over it, and begins to describe something he's going to show the judges that will tell you exactly who these defendants are. And then he has a young corporal pull the sheet back, and there in the middle of that table is the shrunken head that was the paperweight on the commandant of Buchenwald. And he says, that's who they are. That's who they are. And that's the moment everything changed. From that point on, the defendants knew, and Göring knew, that they were going to face a very strict judgment.
There's a letter in here, Senator, I think will only get a little more attention, and want to get you to talk about it, among other reasons why you left it in. Your father, who was on the record, no bigot of any kind, still has some remarks in here about Jewish lawyers.
He doesn't want it to become a Jewish trial. Now, I'd blanch when I read it. I mean, but he was worried in a sense. You had people like Lindbergh and others. They were arguing that the only reason for the war was because of the Jews. And
yeah.
He didn't want this to be seen in that light. These were crimes against humanity.
To be fair to your father, he says to your mother, you know better than anyone how I hate race or religious prejudice. You know how I have despised anti-Semitism. And he says, with that knowledge, you will understand when I tell you that the staff is about 75% Jewish. Now, my point is that the Jews should stay away from this trial for their own sake. For, mark this well, the charge of war for the Jews is still being made. And in the post-war years, it will be made again and again. That part I understand. Here's the part, honestly, that I think will, maybe it even made you blanch as you read it. He goes on to say, when you think kind of he's made the point, sometimes it seems that the Jews will never learn about these things. They seem intent on bringing new difficulties down on their own heads.
Again, I blanched when I read it, but I thought, look, you're gonna keep things out like this, then these letters are going to lack authenticity. He's writing to my mother, If you're going to believe everything else he says in these letters, I couldn't leave something out that would cause his own son 60 years later to wonder what was going on.
Senator, can I get you to read from a letter your father wrote to your mother? Your father is there prosecuting some of the worst people in human history, and he's lonely.
Yeah, he says to my mother, his salutations are always grace, my dearest one. You see, sometimes I get almost overwhelmed with loneliness for you. My heart actually aches. Then I cannot sleep or do much else. I miss the children so much, and I do not think I saw nearly enough of them while at home. The memories that stick are not the parties with friends, but those of you and the children, your smile, your eyes, and your lovely soul.
Wow.
I'll tell you an interesting thing. I mean, a couple of male friends of mine said, you know, don't let my wife read this book. Please don't let them see these letters, because I'm in deep, deep trouble. But you know, as children of that generation, I never heard my father say that to my mother in my presence, or words like that. And so hearing his voice talk about her this way was just tremendously moving to me. So
let me ask you, obviously you're running for president.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, according to the polls, maybe it's not as obvious as you'd like it to
be. Thank you for mentioning
that. I can't believe I'm going to expect an answer out of this then after that. Forgive me.
It's all right. Go ahead.
In the age of terrorism, what do you do with the predicament of trying to bring people to trial who may not have necessarily violated the law yet? People sometimes point out the September 11th plotters, and we're just past the 6th anniversary, could not have been arrested just boarding planes that morning.
Well, there's nothing that would prevent them in custody. If you had evidence that you thought they were about to engage in some activity, of course you can do that. And certainly the plotting of an assault on the country is a crime. To have pulled them off those planes, I don't know of anyone that would disagree with that at all. That's very different, in my view, than deciding to arrest someone, locking them up in a secret prison someplace, or keeping them there and depriving them without ever knowing what they've been charged with or ever the possibility of being actually tried for what they've been charged with. That's very different, in my view.
Senator Dodd, thanks so much for all of your time.
Thank you for yours. I appreciate it very much.
Senator Christopher Dodd of Connecticut, he has a new book, Letters from Nuremberg, My Father's Narrative of a Quest for Justice.